Last night, Joe Biden made his first public comment since he ended his bid for re-election to the White House in a televised address from the Oval Office. He spoke of his accomplishments, his upbringing, and he praised the American people. But he gave no indication of what or who had persuaded him to step aside from the race, other than to say that the time had come to hand over to a new generation. During his address from the Oval Office, Joe Biden described Vice President Kamala Harris as an incredible leader for her country.
Just a few months, the American people will choose the course of America's future. I made my choice. I've made my views known. I would like to thank our great Vice President Kamala Harris. She's experienced. She's tough. She's capable. She's been an incredible partner to me and a leader for our country. Now the choice is up to you, the American people.
Meanwhile, at a rally in North Carolina, Republican nominee Donald Trump described Ms. Harris as the most incompetent vice president in American history.
So now we have a new victim to defeat. Lion Kamala Harris. Lion. L-Y-I-N apostrophe. The most incompetent and far-left vice president in American history. But this November, the American people are going to tell her, no thanks, Kamala. You've done a terrible job. You've been terrible at everything you've done. You're ultra-liberal, and we don't want you here. We don't want you anywhere. Kamala, you're fired. Get out of here. You're fired.
Let's talk now to Scott Lucas, Professor of American Studies at the UCD Clinton Institute. Good morning, Professor Lucas. Thank you for joining us. In Joe Biden's speech last night, there was no clear explanation from him about why he decided to step down from the presidential race. What was the purpose of his speech last night?
Oh, I think the explanation is there. If you take the lines and decode them, and I think the key line for me is the sacred cause of our nation is greater than any one person. The future of our democracy is more important than personal ambition. Without directly saying it, I think Biden had finally accepted the argument which was being put to him by a number of people, publicly, but more importantly, privately, which is that given the America's media's focus on his age and his mental ability, while giving a free pass to Donald Trump, it was handing Trump the keys to the White House. And so that's why the need was there to hand over in the clip that you played to, you know, this, you know, this great Vice President Kamala Harris, in other words, passing the torch.
And he did pay tribute, as we heard in that clip, to her. But he described her as experienced, tough and capable. But he didn't say a lot more about her beyond that. I mean, is he leaving that for another day?
I think, in a sense, the important question Biden had to answer last night is in a way, why he was stepping aside. And then he now has to hand it over to Kamala to make her case, because this campaign's hit the ground running. It's been very striking in the past few days how Harris has gotten that message across in terms of, again, the future of the U.S. system in positioning herself as that prosecutor versus the convicted felon, and then on a line which has been picked up and just chanted, we won't go back. You know, we won't go back to an America before the progress in rights and reforms for everyone. And as you heard from that campaign has been so strong, it's leaving Donald Trump struggling. He's struggling for an attack line. So I think Joe Biden is there, but he's not. It's time for him to step back. And that's why you did not have that big emphasis on him defining the Harris campaign for her.
And you mentioned Donald Trump, and we heard the clip of him speaking about Vice President Harris, describing her as a radical left lunatic, an ultra-liberal driving force behind every single Biden catastrophe. We're seeing the former president now, I suppose, attempt to turn the screw on Kamala Harris. But what can we expect the main lines of attack to be as the campaign moves forward?
Oh, but you've already got it. You've got the insulting nicknames. Although it was interesting how he tried laughing Kamala Harris on Sunday, and he got a lot of clapback from people who said, wait, what are you doing? Why are you making fun of her laugh? That's what men do to women. They you mock how she sounds. And I think the campaign recognized that's not a good line, a good take, especially with undecided women voters. So now he goes with lion, which he's used before. He used it for Bernie Sanders. And he tries to describe her as incompetent. The problem here is that whatever you think of her policies, you know, and stance on the issues, Kamala Harris is very, very competent. He's got a challenge there. I think if the Trumpists, if they were smart, they would get away from the insults. They would get away from the lines that play just to the base. And they would play to the undecided voters in the center. And I think in particular, although it's based on a lot of misinformation, they'd go in with claims on the economy and on immigration. But the problem here is that means Trump has to speak to the issues, and he doesn't work well on that terrain.
Just finally, then, there was another important speech in the United States yesterday, that address by Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu to Congress, a speech in which he defended the war in Gaza, but one which was marked as well by protests outside the Capitol. He went there to rally support for the war in Gaza with Israel's closest ally. Did he succeed?
No, I mean, in a sense, the fact is that those American politicians who are bedded in with Israel and giving unconditional support, they're in there. But those who are now questioning the Israeli campaign, which is what we're now 10 months in, and there's no halt to the mass killings, you know, half of the Democrats stayed away from it. And those that did attend expressed doubts about it. Big problem for Benjamin Netanyahu is, as some people said, is he's running for re-election in his own country, and the Israeli military and a lot of other Israelis have doubts about his leadership. I'm not sure if he convinced them. That's the important question.
Scott Lucas, Professor of American Studies at the UCD Clinton Institute, thank you very much for your analysis this morning.